You ever wonder what happened to Rudy Giuliani?
The Holy Quran, it talks about not being friends with Christians and Jews. It talks about killing them when you don't have a chance to torture them.
One of the things Rudy liked to talk about, aside from sex, was his ability to lie. So am I surprised that Rudy is lying again?
Once known as the former mayor of New York City, now disbarred, publicly disgraced.
Mr. Truth is Not Truth, a charged RICO defendant in Georgia, an unindicted co-conspirator in federal court in Washington, D.C. Yes, that Rudy Giuliani.
But still back at it again, spreading more of the same lies. He's even bragged about being very good at it.
I read the Quran often. I started reading it when I was 19.
One of the things Rudy liked to talk about, aside from sex, was his ability to lie.
And yet somehow he's still being brought on to speak about Islam, Muslims, and the Quran on different platforms.
So that it looks like all the bad things Muhammad said first and all the good things he said last.
The question is, who's funding him? We know he's broke. He's lost it all.
He owes $148 million. He owes the IRS $550,000. He's being sued by his lawyer.
Leave that in the comments below. Let me know what you think. So let's have a look at what he has to say this time. I thought he wisened up a little bit after we responded to his lies on the Piers Morgan.
Does that not make you feel uncomfortable?
Program the last time, but he's back at it again. Some people just don't learn. Why do you want to have us do this to you again, Rudy?
When Rudy was on legal calls with President Trump, he required and expected me to be pleasing him during his calls with President Trump.
But hopefully the sincere people out there will go ahead and see through the lies and the deceptions and learn some truth here. So let's have a look and respond with facts. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs like this one.
This is the deal.
And I want to ask you a question here, Rudy.
I know you're a proud Catholic.
What was your reaction to seeing Ramadan at City Hall, right? To seeing like Muslim prayers inside of your office, your old office. Like, what was your reaction to seeing
it was
everyone barefoot and sitting on carpets?
Yeah, nothing short of traumatic. If people came into City Hall and did that, I'd have them all thrown out. First of all, I read the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum.
As-salamu.
He said dramatic. What did he say?
Traumatic.
We got Dr. Rami back on the show. How you been, Doctor?
Alhamdulillah. How you doing?
All right. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. So you deal with, as a doctor, a lot of traumatic cases, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
If that's traumatic to you, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't like to call out people, you know, personally or judge people, but like, if you're gonna accept the title of someone who's a proud Catholic, you should probably follow the tenets of your religion. Do not lie. Do not steal. Don't be so corrupt, etc. We should come, you know, with solid, a little humility before you, you know.
Solid points. He says a Catholic. Yeah, you've seen his video.
One of the things, and you know, I like to mention this a lot in the khutbah, is like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the huge differences between, I'm going to say, Islam and how other religions are practiced today, because I think, you know, the message has been the same, it hasn't changed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, talk is cheap. I want you to do, not just say. It's not enough to say, oh, I'm Muslim, I'm a believer, I'm righteous. What do your actions say? And so in Islam, we don't separate or allow separation between belief and action. Iman, the definition of belief, faith, is that which is embedded in your heart, but it's proven through action. You can't say I believe and then be like, but you know, I really don't do this, I don't follow the tenets of. No, if you truly believe, you're going to prove it through action. So if you're going to call yourself a believer or a follower of religion, you need to carry out and follow the tenets of that religion. You can't be like, oh, you know, I don't think God cares what you do. It doesn't work like that.
Those are good, solid points. I mean, the hypocrisy, because you can see, like, his track record now that he's actually being, you said, hold to the commandments of not lying, stealing, but yeah. everything he's being accused of is lying, stealing, yeah. slandering.
Shouldn't throw stones if you live in a glass house.
Yeah. It's really mind-blowing to see somebody like that who's Catholic at that, and then he's...
And I don't know. I'm not sure what's so traumatic. I mean, I don't know what the guy's what's in the guy's heart. But like, what is so traumatic about people praying in an office or city hall, etc.? Unless you actually have a genuine issue with Muslims.
Yeah.
Like that. That's my question to you. These people. I'm looking at the video. They got their shoes off. Like, they're showing more reverence for that place than everyone else who's walking in, tracking mud and dirt and whatever from all the places. They took their shoes off. The place is clean. They're coming to remember Allah, God. You know, they're trying to be closer. And statistically speaking, irrespective of what religion people follow, people who are religious typically tend to be better citizens, better humans, better to you, humanity, better to their neighbors, better to the community, etc. So this is praiseworthy. Even if you don't agree with the religion, like, we don't agree and think that the modern day Christianity and Judaism is correct, right? But typically we have an affinity to those who follow their religion and believe in it, and it makes them better people if they actually follow the tenets of religion. So that's something you'd want to encourage.
You have all sorts of religious services now. You've seen a bunch of videos coming out, people having worship services in the Oval Office, in the White House.
Yeah, I think we touched on this last episode, is that the way the Constitution was crafted specifically was to avoid labeling or stamping or limiting religion to a specific religion, even though many of the forefathers were what? Christian. Mm-hmm. They specifically didn't want to limit it like this. So I'm going to throw the argument back to him. I'm going to say, hey, listen, what is so offensive? What is so bad about this? Because your forefathers that you uphold from your constitution are telling you, we could have chose Christianity as the law of the land, and we didn't, because we embrace freedom of religion. This is one of the best exemplifications of freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue on. Yeah.
I read the Quran often. I started reading it when I was 19 and did a paper on it when I was in when I wanted to be a priest, qualified for the seminary. And here's one copy. Here's another copy. This copy gives you the five different translations that they use for words often. This copy gives you how they rearranged it so that it looks like all the bad things Muhammad said first and all the good things he said last, and the last cancels the beginning. The reality is it's not ordered like the Bible or any book that you would ever write. It's not ordered in chronological order. The Holy Quran, exclamation points and quotation marks, the Holy Quran is ordered in the length of the surah. It's the chapter first. The first surah is short. It's the prayer, the universal prayer they say every day. The second surah is probably one of the two or three last things that he wrote. It talks about not being friends with Christians and Jews. It talks about killing them.
All right, we'll get to that one, but let's back it up. So he's been reading the Quran since he's 19.
He didn't hold up a Quran there, that I could tell you. Yeah. I think that one of those books was Robert Spencer's book, who I think even anti-hate groups have already mentioned his organization as being a hate
That's
group.
The author of what
the
he
author of one of
that
books.
Book that
yeah,
he held
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy's known to be a career Islamophobe, someone who... is trying to make Islam the enemy, has been called by anti-hate groups as sponsoring a hate group.
That's
himself.
His book he's reading.
And
he's like, I've been reading the Quran since I was 19.
And he's
been reading a hate book. It's not the Quran.
And it just comes down to, like, you know, I can pick up anything and look for anything that may be... understood in more than one way and take it in the worst context possible, especially when I'm looking at it through a lens of someone who's trying to interpret it in the worst way possible, or limit the interpretation, or not giving the full context, etc. I can't speak to the actual book because I didn't read like that, but I'll tell you this. If you study the Quran, if he says like he's studying to become a priest in the seminary, etc. Like anything, if you're going to study a primary text, how do you study it? In its original form. So I know that I'm trying to make this more cumbersome, but if you don't understand the Arabic, don't talk about reading the Quran. You can read a translation of the meaning of the Quran where the words are man and they're flawed and they're not perfect, but don't say you read the Quran. Number two, read something that actually is an authentic translation of the meaning, something that's, you know, has a general consensus. This captures the meaning adequately, etc., or gives the context, or etc., or has the tafsir, the exegesis of it, to understand how Muslims understand it. And then if you have a problem with how we understand it, then at least you're intellectually and honestly and academically critiquing something that we believe in. But I don't even know what you're critiquing. You're critiquing what someone else is postulating or trying to sell to you.
So just to hit the point home, like for people to understand, so he's reading, he held up a book by this person that you mentioned who's a career Islamophobe. This guy hates Islam. He gets paid to bash Islam. So imagine someone who is hates Christianity, for example. And now he wrote a book and took all the verses that are about fighting out of context. For example, Numbers 31:17. Now therefore, unalive every male, the little ones, and unalive the woman who has not who has been known to lie with a man, but all the young girls who have not been, basically the virgin girls, keep for yourselves. Verses like there's ton of stuff like that.
Jesus is purported to say that I do not think I came to bring peace, I came to bring the sword. We take that out of context, no problem.
So if he took all those, hey, I've been reading the Bible, right? That's the same thing now equivalent to what he's saying.
Because would I want someone like that teaching me about something if it's objectively? You can come to your own conclusions, no problem, right? But if I'm going to learn something, I learn it from the source. And that's not what he's doing. So I think that's inaccurate and dishonest at best. And he's also mentioning another thing. He was mentioning the holy in quotations. Cool, bro. Come at me. Like, bring your proofs. What makes you think that the Quran is not holy or is not accurate or not correct? The challenge has been in the Quran for over 1400 years, coming up to 1500 years. Find an error in it. Find an inconsistency. Find a historical inaccuracy. Find a prophecy that hasn't come true, or, you know, counter to facts or whatever. Find any of these things that makes the Quran flawed or incorrect or not fully preserved. They have, you know, I think we talked about this last time too. They have Quran not just from the first century, from the time of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Birmingham manuscript.
Yeah.
They have these things. So you can put aside how you feel about it, but just authenticity-wise, it's definitely legit. There's no question about that. Non-Muslim historians have been unable to come to the conclusion that it's not historically preserved or inaccurate. So
now we're going to get into what he's getting out of it. But as soon as you open the Quran and you start reading, the theme is pure monotheism, connection with your Creator,
that's what it is.
The purpose of life, paradise, hellfire. I mean, stories
which is the same story from the time of Adam alayhi salam till now. It's all about believing one God. That's the same story from before till now. Unchanged.
Yeah. Final revelation for mankind. And now, if you're reading it properly, and that's interesting about the Quran. Like, look, if you're sincere, if you're seeking the truth, you're going to see that this is from the Creator. With all the proofs and evidences, prophecies, the signs, everything that's in there, there's no way.
Yep.
You know, that's what blew my mind. I was like, there's no way that a man could have written this. There's no way.
100%. And the unique thing is that, like, you know, we have a different perspective about God in many things, especially with, like, Christianity, etc. But, like, one of the things is we don't believe that God only does everything that's good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, creates evil as well. He created Satan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ, from the evil that he has created. But that evil comes to you if you want it, if you're asking for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you guidance if you seek it, and He will misguide you if you want that. If you want to read the Quran and see the truth you're asking, I mean, I remember watching, like, at the height, at the beginning of, like, what was going on in Gaza in 2023. I remember it's blowing my mind. You find these people on, like, TikTok or whatever, and literally, these are non-Muslims. You know, they have no reason to lie to us. And they're like, I want to learn about these people. These people are, whether they say they're amazing or they're crazy or whatever, their whole family's being killed and they're just being patient. And I was wondering, I had a question. And I decided to pick up the Quran. And the first page I looked at, it answered my question. or I was wondering about this. And I opened the book, and the verse that the first verse I read was discussing what I was trying to see. Why? Because if you have a sincere heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you to the truth. If your heart is impure, it's evil, it's corrupted, and you don't want the truth, Allah has no problem let you be misguided. Mm-hmm. No problem. You choose your first steps in your path, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you want. Yeah, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, Rudy needs to stick, like you said, to the commandments, not lying, not stealing,
fraud.
Yeah, which he's been known for.
Being dishonest,
As many are testifying.
Yeah. One of the things Rudy liked to talk about, aside from sex, was his ability to lie.
What?
Isn't he an attorney?
Yeah. So he used to testify. This is witnesses saying that one of the things he liked to brag about
is his ability to lie.
Yeah,
it's such a foreign concept. Like, you know, you have these situations where, like, you know, I'm not talking about him, but like in general, like you have attorneys who know their client is guilty, and they don't care. They're like, you know, I have no moral issue in that. My job is to do a job. And then this is where, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have...
That's not the Islamic concept.
We have a priority of your allegiance and your alliance is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, even it goes against yourself and your family, etc. What is right, right. What is wrong, is wrong. Same thing, like you were talking about Gaza. When people are carrying out these immoral acts, I remember reading, I forget what newspaper it was, they did this big article about like how some of the IDF soldiers, I like to say the Israeli occupation forces, they couldn't deal with it. They were depressed. They weren't sleeping. Some of them committed suicide because of the horrible things they were doing. I'm sorry for some of you, but like they were describing running over people alive with their bulldozers, and you know, some of them was like, I couldn't eat meat ever after that again. And the story, the ironic part is they're focusing on the emotions of the killers and the torturers, not the ones who were being killed. But put that aside for a second. In Islam, I'm not saying the Muslims never done this, but true Muslims who follow the Quran and Islam, they would never ever follow an illegal or a, not saying from the world perspective, an un-Islamic rule. It doesn't matter if the military general tells you your allegiance to Allah, لا تعط المخلوق فمعصيت الخالق. There's no obedience to creation and in disobeying the creator. Someone gives you an order that's against Islam, you don't follow it. Someone is telling you, oh, this guy is guilty, whatever. I have my conscience. I have to answer to Allah. I'm not going to defend him. You can't be a professional liar. You have to have morals. You have to have ethics. You're answering to a higher power. I don't know how people make this separation, but it's just a job. No, it's not. This is how you enable mischief in the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you separate between your allegiance to God and your allegiance to your role or your job or whatever. You cannot do that.
Well, you don't have a chance to torture them. He also makes reference to, and then his interpreters flesh out in what they call hadith, that Allah would prefer if you tortured them. But if you can just kill them, you still get fettered in paradise. And the whole 72 versions comes out of a passage in the Quran talking about how I have a
hard time trying to understand where he was the mayor of New York.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Muslims in New York.
Yeah.
Do you think he ever sat and had sincerely a conversation with some of his constituents to kind of learn?
I was thinking about that while watching this. I'm like,
yeah.
Do you know?
Where's he get?
I know what his answer, because I've heard his answer before. But like, do you actually know some real Muslims, like actual Muslims? Because I think the other time he had an interview, I think it was in Piers Morgan, where literally he was asked, like, I would never trust a Muslim who believes in the Quran. That's literally like, I'm paraphrasing very closely, but that's the meaning of what he was saying. Is like people, and he says something like, oh, I know people. It's very close to the quote, so I apologize if not perfect, but like he's like, and I know people, I have friends who disavow those portions of the Quran. That's not a Muslim. I'm not someone that's going to call him, but I'm sorry. Like there's, you know, you're either part of a club or you're not part of the club. There's certain rules and regulations. You either believe in all of Islam or you disbelieve in any of it. And that takes you out of the fold of Islam. So whoever he's talking to, not specific names, but if someone professes that there's parts of the Quran, parts of Islam I don't believe in, they're not Muslim. End of story. There's no question about that. There's no debate about that. We accept it all because we know it's perfect and it's from Allah. So I don't know if he actually knows true Muslims. Like, you know, the guys who are cleaning up the streets of New York, the people who are standing, you know, on the street corners, who are stopping the drug dealers, who are stopping the prostitution, who are stopping the drunkenness, whatever, and cleaning up their streets. Not because they're getting paid, not because they're on payroll from the government. They're doing it because they believe in their community, and this is where they live, and this is the Islamic way. I don't think he's ever met one of them. I don't think he's met, you know, this is like the streets of Harlem. What were they like before Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X, and afterwards? What were they like? You know, these are the impactful things that Islam brings to the community. It improves the situation. It elevates the community. But I don't know if he actually knows people like that. But I tell you, I know the people he does know, I believe is under his watch during September 11, where the NYPD, no wiretaps, or not no federal warrants or nothing, they were wiretapping masjids and MSAs. No warrants. Mr. Constitutionalism, right? Where is your oversight? Where is your the rules and regulations and due process that you're providing? I remember reading these articles where how they figured out was one time someone was like in the masjid, I think it was the MSA, and there's something sticking in the carpet, and they're like, "What is this?"
Oh man!
Yeah, and they discovered a mic, and then they found out that the FBI, along with the NYPD, was illegally, without any due process, without a wiretap, was listening in. And so this gives you the mindset.
And I'm sure many of them later were accepting Islam when they
happens the all truth. The time. There's survivors of 9/11, like the widows and whatever, who accepted Islam, who accepted Islam. And they had someone who died in 9/11. Yeah. There's, a lot of times there's prison guards from Guantanamo Bay who accepted Islam.
Terry Holbrooks, yeah, I interviewed
when
him.
When you're hard, you just want to look at the truth. And ironically, a lot of them times what they do, they're like, these people, these savages, these horrible people, they're doing this because they're reading all the
propaganda,
the flamboyant, like propaganda that's being out there. But when they look at something objectively, like, what is this? This makes sense. Wait, this is kind of fair. Oh, this sounds true. Oh, this, and then all of a sudden it opens their heart. But does he know people like that? That's the question. And so and it tells you again a mindset. I just want to comment on this really quick. When after 9/11 you're going and spying on every Muslim and every masjid and every MSA, what is your perception of Muslims? Do you think any of them are innocent, or are you painting them all with a brush that they're all out to get this? So when your viewpoint is tainted in the first point, what are you going to get? You're poisoned at the start. What do you expect?
Yeah. So that's the the couple of things we'll just address real quick before we conclude. So obviously, like what he's doing, he's cherry picking. He's not giving context. Yeah. And that's why I said, if he just sat there with, he probably had access if he wanted to sit and say, hey, look, I'm reading this and says, you know, I heard that you cannot be friends, you know, with Muslims, and they'll say infidel and all this stuff, which is that's not the proper translation of the word kafir.
Yeah.
So now he's interpreting on his own or from that book, from that Islam hater.
Yep.
But
some verses are contextual.
Yeah.
Some are specific to, like, hey, listen, these two groups were fighting, and this is specific to this situation. And then there's verses that are broad and eternal, but that's not the right word, but like, you know, generalized, and they're thematic and principles for all time. Like, ironically, you know, the in the same surah where it's talking about like fighting and fighting those who fight you and those who kick you out and those who are killing you, etc., the verse before it says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forbid you from being kind and just and giving bitter. Bitter is like giving goodness to people, irrespective of who they are, right? To those who don't fight you, those who don't kill you, those who don't kick you out of your lands, etc. This is the Islamic way. And the very simple, basic thing. I'm sorry, bro. Like, if that's what you think all Muslims are, you're living in a weird microcosm, because there's 2 billion Muslims in the world. So I don't remember the last statistics of the world population. I think it's like closer to like around 7 mm-hmm. billion or 8 billion now. So at minimum, every third person, if my math is right, at minimum, every third person is Muslim. Look to your left, look to your right, whether you're at work, at home, at school, whatever. Every third person Muslim. They're not allowed to get you. They're not trying to hurt you. They're not causing mischief in the land or whatever. That's a statistic. So just to use your brain, if a third of the world is Muslim, and it's not, most of the Muslims don't live in the Middle East. The most possible, most populous Muslim countries in the world are in Asia, like Indonesia, Malaysia, India. India has like millions of Muslims. So if and there's Hindus there, primarily non-Muslims, not even Ahl al-Kitab, not even Christians or Jews, not people of the book. And we've lived in peace and prosperity before, like the British came and tried to divide, you know, India. So it just, if you use your mind just for 2 seconds, you'd be like, wow, this many people are Muslim, and they brought so much richness in education, culture, and diversity to the West. It doesn't make sense that like we're the enemy and we're out to get. No, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But you, if you want to look at that, if you want to see evil and goblins, and that's what all you're going to see, right? You're going to paint everything with one brush. You're gonna, your lenses are red. Everything you see is red.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you get when you don't study the religion properly, and you're learning it from a career Islam hater,
yeah.
Quoting things out of the context. We could do the same thing with the Bible.
Yeah. Or you don't reach out and just meet your neighbors, meet your Muslim colleagues, etc.
And we've reached out to Rudy Giuliani, and it'd be nice if he can accept the invitation and have a civil discussion. We can put many of these teachings now that he's learned, put them to the test.
Yeah, there's definitely people who can really address all of these points that he has concerns about and explain to him the context. Whether he agrees with the Quran or not is not the issue, but like to give him actual, true, authentic context that we're not like watering down or changing. No, this is the context according to the Quran and Sunnah from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, how the companions living during the time of the Rasul ﷺ, how they understood and interpreted it, and we've continued to interpret it till today. There is very, very clear precedent and example for how they're understood.
Yeah. So before we conclude, it's just the root of it. It's what do you think the root of all of this is? Is what's the agenda? What's behind this push? What are they trying to put out there? That Islam is the other, Muslims are your enemies? Like what is the underlying
agenda? I think there's a lot of reasons. Number one is, in general, people are afraid of what they're unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
In general. And this is, unfortunately, like, you know, people don't like hearing this, but this is the history of America. This is the history of the West, is that when we don't know cultures, we don't appreciate them, we wipe them out. Or we see them as a direct threat to us. And that's not the way we should be doing, right? We should be embracing the positivity in other cultures and in other ways. And there's give and take. You know, we take what's good from other cultures and we leave what isn't, right? So there's lack of familiarity, and we have a personal responsibility in that as well, right? We have to do kind of like the work, mashallah, that you're doing, is like going out and meeting our neighbors and putting a face to Islam and Muslims and embracing that community. Because I think us, like many other communities, when we predominantly are, you know, came from other countries, we've kind of, the natural way to protect your community and your religion, your culture, is to isolate yourself some. But we need to be interactive. We need to be involved with our community, be on the forefront and be known, be a good neighbor, a good friend, a good colleague, a good coworker. And when people know us, those stereotypes naturally fall. It's, you know, I can say everything, but when people see my actions, then they're like, oh, I know. What are you talking about? That can't be Islam. That can't be Muslims. I know Muhammad. I know Umar. I know Khalid. I've grown up with them. They're not like that. Muslims aren't like that. So that's one thing. Other thing is, yeah, there is an agenda. Divide and conquer. It's so much easier, right? If I pit this group against this group, if I put pro-life versus pro-abortionists, if I put pro-gun versus anti-gun, if I put Republican versus Democrat, whatever, you're just going to keep groups infighting, because it's easier to control the masses like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very good agenda. And then there's, I think, again, I don't know what's in his heart, but there may be some like people who genuinely have it out for Islam and Muslims, genuinely hate Muslims, look at you eye to eye and be like, I hate you and hate everything you stand for, or whatever. It is what it is. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when someone comes at you with like bad or evil or wrong or whatever, the best thing is to respond in a positive way. Qalu salam. And we say, peace be upon you. Say in something good. Respond with the evil, with good. Respond with aggression, with positivity. And hopefully he does. But like there's, I don't know where he's coming from, but it's not a positive place.
Well, we invite Rudy Giuliani to sit with us, talk with the Muslims, educated Muslims, And anybody who's confused about Islam, it's a billion-dollar industry. What advice do you give for them?
Like I said, reach out to your local masjid, reach out to your local Muslim, and us, we should be reaching out as well. Get to know the people. The quickest way to get rid of what you're afraid of is to confront it, is to get to know it. And then you can see, is it something I should be afraid of in the first place or not? You know, if you're afraid of goblins all the time, you're always going to have goblins in your life. But if you look under the bed and you're like, oh, there's nothing there, you turn on the lights, there's no monster in the room. In fact, oh, you know what? This guy becomes a good friend of mine. This guy's become kind to us. This guy's help. He's calling me to something is good. He's trying to help me visit the sick and help out the needy and, you know, take care of the... Like, we have a project downtown here. There's a bunch of Muslims who go in and help, you know, the underprivileged and underserved community here that the government is having, you know, hasn't really reached, or the community hasn't gone outreach to. It's not just Muslims. They're predominantly non-Muslims. They're trying to help out. These are the type of people that we should be reaching out to, and they should come out and reach out to us, right? It takes two to tango. Yeah. So we should reach out our hands, and they should reach out. Ask, get to know, learn. And that familiarity, it breaks down the barriers, it breaks down the fear, and it helps us be a more cohesive community. And the most amazing thing is, when we do that, not because of our differences, but despite our differences, we can improve our communities. We can work together to solve some of the problems and plagues and the problems that plague our community. Even if we have different perspectives, even if we have different religions and ideologies, we can come eye to eye and see eye to eye and work hand in hand to fix some of the problems, because we'll find that, hey, we care about some of the same problems when we believe in some of the similar solutions.
Dr. Rami, thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you for
having me. Thank you for being with us again here. And switch it. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Now, if you want to read an actual Quran or the translation of a Quran, I'm going to give you a gift for free. Yeah, that's right. Go to thedeanshow.com.
A real Quran.
Yes. And we'll get it to you for free and see for yourself. And you'll walk away, if you're sincere, knowing that, wow, this is amazing. The message in there, pure, absolute monotheism, worshiping the creator, not the creation. Purpose of life. It's there, clear, laid out. Paradise. How do I get to paradise? Preparing for the day of judgment. Hellfire. How do I avoid it? Everything that you need to know to be successful in this life and the next. But you got to go ahead and put the work in and give us a holler, and we'll get that to you. If you have any other questions, tune in here to The Dean Show. You can also call us 1-800-662-4752. 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Subscribe if you haven't already. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.